The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Pearly whites. You look good, my friend.
Thank you. I feel all right. I've been better. But today, I'm here to spread the good word of the Georgia Bulldogs.
This is a rule. Okay, because you win it, you get to talk it for like 30, 45 seconds.
I got my feel from Tony from Georgia earlier today because he was going in on the call.
No, he's going hard.
Yeah, he was going hard. But Georgia Bulldogs, I'm so proud of you guys because I've been waiting for this moment forever. I didn't go to school there. My mom did and my aunt did, but it feels like I did sometimes. And watching the Georgia defense, the Kobe Dean, Jordan Davis, I'm going to be rooting for the Eagles too this year just to support my boys.
Yeah. No, he says go Birds.
Go Birds. Go, go Birds. Birds. Only for those two guys, though. I couldn't believe it. Great season. And Tony from Georgia, I'm backing you up on everything that you shouted on here earlier.
Charles is in simpatico with a Paul Feinbaum caller. Write that in stone. Yeah. Okay, so, like, how, as a Georgia fan, it's set in, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But how have you been treating the last 5 months, and how will you be treating this upcoming season of Georgia football?
Oh, with house money. Because I know that, hey, the Avengers are gone, right? The Avengers are gone. We still got Wolverine, 88, Jalen Carter on that defense. So I think he's going to have a big season. But in general, I've just been talking bleep to everybody that I can imagine. I tell you what, there was one player that I was afraid of this entire college football season. And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Jameson Williams. And, you know, unfortunately for him, he couldn't finish that game. But I know every time I saw him touch the ball, I was like, no. And, you know, when that factor of the equation was removed, I was like, oh, my God, we have a chance to win the championship.
Georgia, as just a test case, is very interesting, right? Because they built this insane Galactico defense, but they didn't do it in that classical way that we've seen, right? Really good on the outside, great corners, and then a dominant pin your ears back edge rusher or two. They didn't do that. They built it up the middle, and they succeeded in spite of that.
Yeah, it was built straight up the middle. And I think the collection of talent that you have, like, right down the middle, going from, obviously, Jordan Davis, Demonte Wyatt, Jalen Carter, through N'Kobe Dean, the other two linebackers got drafted, Lewis Seen on the back end. One of the things that made Jameson Williams so scary, because they didn't have the cornerback talent, like, really, to keep up with him. Not that anyone really does. But at the same time, to me, it's kind of cool, like, it's a case study. How dominant does something else have to be for you to win in, like, unorthodox ways? Because when we think about building defense, it's rushing off the edge, like you said, great cornerback play. But Georgia said, we're going to take it back to 1987. Defensive tackles, linebackers, safeties, and we're going to whoop yo behind every single week. And it was beautiful to watch. And they got your Florida Gators, too.
They did.
That is accurate. Yeah.
That was like in like a four-minute stretch. You went from maybe to
know that was the great thing about this Georgia team, is that they had the word no in their vocabulary, firmly establishing boundaries, like, you're not going to score on us.
When N'Kobe Dean got that interception right before halftime, I think make it like 21-0, that's when I knew we were on the verge of something special. All we had to do was get past Jameson Williams, and now I look at that picture of Kirby kissing the trophy and Quavo from Eagles holding up the Georgia picture just about every day. When I'm feeling down in the dumps, I'll go turn on that Kelly Ringo interception, because that was one. Look, I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan. Yeah. I don't have many moments like this, okay? So I have to appreciate every single second of the championship run.
You are a former small college football player yourself.
Yes, I am.
Okay, we know that NIL is not really a wash at that level of college football, but let's pretend that it was. If NIL money was in the game when you played.
Look, I know my mom is listening to this right now. She's watching. And she's going to be a little disappointed with my answer on what team or what company would have sponsored my NIL journey through college. But Easy Waters, bro. Easy Waters, what, the zigzag papers? Like, that's what I was on. That's what I spent more money on than anything else in college. I don't know if I can say it on ESPN, but
you are not the first person who has invoked the herb on this show today.
I'll tell something.
It's the last hour. Why not?
So I played at Gettysburg College, and me and my friend Armando, sometimes, you know, you hit that herb before practice to get you a little loose and moving around. How? Because it doesn't hurt as much. I played on the defensive line. You need some pain relief every once in a while, and just to get through practice. And also, when you're a freshman just staying on the sidelines, what am I gonna do? They got the seniors all. They got the seniors all in practice. I'm rotating in. Look, if I can keep it together for 4 or 5 plays during practice, I've done a good job. And Easy Wire, they definitely should have sponsored me during my college days.
So where do we go from there? I do want to ask. Okay, so if you've got two coaches who are beefing with each other, okay. How much of this do you think is intentional design? How much of it was just, I'm going to have a day. I'm just going to walk. I got a mic. I'm going to talk into it. Because I understand everybody, like, I wanted to talk with someone about this. I think we take away, as famous people, not people who are publicly known, we take away their right to just say a dumb thing.
Right.
Right? Like, or say a rash thing, like an unprepared thing.
Like I just did just now.
Sure. Like Charles just did right now. But. I think it was semi-calculated, but like the shot at Jimbo, that just felt like, hey, I'm just gonna let this loose.
Do you think he just sent it, Saban? Do you think he just sent it?
I feel like Saban is like a little less polished than we give him credit for, in terms of being in front of mics, because I think this is like one of the most inflammatory things that he has said on a mic. But he's had other moments where he's popped off on people, like reporters. So I think he kind of has this, I guess I'd just say, rashness to him at times, where
he gets a little hot, the emotion comes out, just let it go.
But I was just thinking, Nick, is this really a fight you want to be picking?
Yeah.
And not only the fight you want to pick, but using those specific words that he did with Jimbo. And, you know, I think with Jimbo, you got to know your enemies a little better, especially someone that's that close to you. Because to me, when he said that about Jimbo, it's like, all right, what if Spider-Man went on TV and talked crap about Green Goblin? You know some crap's going to go down the very next day. And that's exactly what happened. So I wasn't surprised at all that Jimbo clapped back. But I was a little surprised that Saban was as specific with his criticism of Texas A&M as he was. Because that was, you can't really wiggle your way out of saying that, you know, they're paying for like their players.
We talked about this earlier in the show. So there is one program that is of Alabama and A&M stature right now in the SEC that is not really saying anything.
Just keeping it quiet.
This.
Doing your work.
Are you in favor of the Georgia Bulldogs? Just sitting this one out.
Keep the player. You don't have to say anything, bro. Nothing. After Jimbo said that, I remember I tweeted a GIF of Michael Scott from The Office. Where he's like, no. Don't say anything. right at Kirby Smart. Kirby. Hey, we don't need to ask questions about how you got that defense together next year. We don't need to ask questions about how they all ran 4 or 5s at the combine either, okay? So let's just keep it player, keep it cool, keep that mouth shut, and we're going to win some games next year.
Move in silence, right? Also, are you going to be all right with losing to Kentucky next year? I mean, you say that this is house money.
What is the loss next year that you're like, all right, I don't care? Like, is there a threshold?
Yeah. I will care about losing to Florida and Auburn every year. That's it.
Yeah.
But now we're playing with house money. So we got the title. This is something that I've been looking forward to basically my entire time watching football.
You're going to be in Atlanta with our other caller, Justice from Portland.
If you remember Justice from Portland, we're going to be up there in Atlanta week one watching that Oregon game and watching Bo Nix get sacrificed to the altar of the Georgia Bulldogs last time.
I forgot, by the way, in this like magical world of transfers, we get more Bo Nix.
Yep. Versus Georgia, week one.
Versus Georgia,
week one. I'm not scared at all.
So you have that transcendent defense. Like, what is the next act? Do you try to run it back in that same style with different parts? We know Devontae Wyatt's still there. He's still a great player.
No, Jalen Carter's there.
Jalen Carter's still there. Or do they try to pivot to something that is a little bit more classical?
I think they should try to pivot to just being an offensive team, because I don't think that you can replicate what they did last year. I mean, even if they brought everyone back, just statistically, it would be hard to repeat that again.
Yeah.
But I think on offense, they lost Jermaine Burton to Alabama, which obviously stings, but I don't know. I was watching this Art Gilbert spring game highlights, wait, he's here.
Eric Gilbert is really talented.
I like that you say you're super chill about this, and you're like, so I was watching the spring game highlights.
I was.
Yeah, no. That tells me, no. The bar's a little higher. Oh, that's how's money. You're like, no.
Look, win like 9+ games, beat Florida and Auburn, and I'm okay.
Okay. I'm gonna check in on that. By the way, win 9+ games. That's all.
Yeah. I know. Look, and I did wish for my year about how this ain't Mark Richt anymore. This is Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this is more about me being fulfilled off of winning a championship.
You're coasting.
Bro, if the Falcons ever win a Super Bowl, bad chance about that. But if they ever do, they can go 2-15 forever as long as those two wins are against the New Orleans Saints. That's all I need.
That is spoken like a true Atlanta sports fan, Georgia sports fan. Impressive. Yeah. Impressive. Charles McDonald, thank you for joining. Thank you for coming in person, live and in living color, to be in the studio with us. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Yeah. Listen to the Exemplist podcast, Underdog Fantasy.
Yeah, the Exemplist. Go ahead, check that out.
It's a good podcast. Both of you have been on there before.
Yeah. Despite that, it's a good podcast. We'll do more of your calls after the break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Live on the SEC Network every Saturday at 7 a.m. For you early risers, fishermen, and other people who enjoy the early morning hours. Marty and McGee available on the SEC Network on the ESPN app. We got a motto for that?
One app, one tap, I think was the line back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to marketing department.
That's good.
Good copy.
We haven't done a studio thing in like months, and you just snapped right back.
Come on now.
Yeah.
You always remember how to ride a bike.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Or how to promo Marty and McGee. 7 a.m.
Let's go back to the phones, Spencer. Jeremy in Dallas. Jeremy?
Hi, can you hear me?
Well, yeah, we got you.
How are y'all doing today?
We're doing great.
Good. How about you?
Good. Pretty good. So I just wanted to go back to the A&M recruiting class a little bit. It was a big deal. Everybody's making a big deal about it. We know recruiting doesn't happen in a vacuum. Our three regional competitors, you know, OU was dealing with coaches realizing manifest destiny. LSU was having a new coaching family, or however he pronounces it. I can't even do that without practice. Longhorns were navigating Kansas and emotional support monkey, figuring out a way to go 5-7 with all that talent. And then the city of Houston had more talent than we've seen in a long time. And then all these kids were recruiting off of the 9-1 season A&M had, and that Bama win that Ty was at. It was incredible. Rushing the field was great. So, but despite all that, I think we can all agree the biggest change during this cycle was NIL becoming legal, right? Like, everybody would agree with that. That was the biggest recruiting change that's been in decades, right?
Yeah,
I don't think anyone will contest that.
Right. So my biggest question is all these people saying, hey, A&M had the biggest change in recruiting results from this year. Is that not indicative of A&M finally kind of playing on the level everybody else is now that paying money is legal? Because before, money was a big deal. And now that everybody's paying kind of at the same level or has the option to, is that indicative that it wasn't as – the parity wasn't there, as Nick Saban likes to use that term?
Well, I would – I think part of Nick Saban's point is that maybe A&M is doing something untoward that rises above the level of being allowed. I think that's kind of the point there.
Yeah. Additionally, it's not like injecting money into the process is a new thing.
Sure.
Money has been a presence in college athletics in a lot of different ways.
For A&M, too.
And we're talking about facilities. We're talking about scholarships. We're talking about all of the different ways that money can manifest itself in college sports. NIL being a side piece, you say that this allows A&M to compete on the same level. I want to soft pedal that a little bit, okay, because I understand the ambition that A&M has. But historically, a lot of the things that have bothered this program and that have hindered it from being more than, you know, a 7-5, 8-4 team, historically speaking, they're still there, right? They're still there. NIL can, I think, lessen some of that. I think it can, here's a thesaurus word, ameliorate it. I think it can make it better. But I still don't know if they're competing quite on the same level. And I only say that, by the way, to say that, okay, cool, we've got like 2-3 good years of this, right? Keep it coming, and then we can say that, because there are programs that have been working at this level of intensity for 10, 20, 30 years.
That's true. We have Ann from Tampa on the line next.
Yes, I first want to say how much I enjoy your Monday show. And then as a fellow Gator fan, I wondered, I feel like Lane Kiffin is kind of like a young Spurrier. I just wonder what your thoughts were.
And thank you very much. Yeah, yeah. The sort of tweaking of the colleagues is something that we have lost in today's sort of sanitized day and age. And Lane, I will give him a lot of credit, is not scared to tweak a colleague.
Yeah, Lane also is reminiscent because, he wears a visor pretty well. Like, let's not overlook that. He's an offensive-minded coach. I think he is unique in that that Lane Kiffin is, I think, a more aggressive recruiter than Spurrier ever was. Spurrier was one of those, well, y'all go get him. You know, y'all go get him, and then I'll tell him how great it is.
Yeah.
Most people do not cite Steve Spurrier as being like the convincing recruiting pitch that got them to go to Florida. It was other factors. So I think actually like Lane Kiffin's a better recruiter. I don't know if he changed the game quite as much offensively as Steve Spurrier did, because remember, before he got in the SEC, Stone Age, offensively speaking, right? Run on first, second, and third down, and then punt. He changed the way things were done forever, so I think like that's probably where he's different. Would Lane Kiffin have been that if we went back in time? I don't know, right? Frankly, by the way, you're never going to approach Spurrier in terms of talking mess about other people. One more thing. Do you notice who had a quick, I'm shocked reaction to this whole Saban-Fisher thing, and then whoosh, radio silence? That'd be Lane Kiffin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got a couple quotes there, and then was like, you know what? Almost set this out. Y'all play.
Smarter than the average bear.
Yeah.
Dwayne from Mississippi, you're on the line for Paul Feinbaum Show.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, guys. Good to see y'all. I ain't seen y'all since y'all's little show y'all did last year. I hope to see it again this year. But, look, I was just going to say, you know, Spurrier said the same thing that I'm thinking. And he said that, you know, Saban didn't say nothing that everybody else has not been saying. It's all over the world. It's all over the Google News feed that Texas A&M bought their players, and that Jackson State got that guy with money. Money talks, bull crap walks. And, you know, my brother is a police officer. He had to go into a trial. It was a murder trial, so he had to go in there with other police officers to make sure everything stayed cool. And the defendant's lawyer was from A&M, and he said something about that during his little preview thing, and the judge says, well, you're not going to buy this case like y'all bought your recruit. So what I'm saying is it's everywhere. You know, it's just everywhere. And, you know, I want to hang up and listen to y'all think.
Well, hey, listen, apparently,
buddy, I did not know where that was going.
Someplace more wonderful than I had imagined, because apparently Texas A&M is making it into the legal record. I bet we can find this, by the way, if a judge actually said it. Somebody get on that.
Hopefully it is of public record in the United States court system. The Paul Feinbaum Show. You never know what you're going to get when you get a caller. How about Handsome Joe? I like that name. Handsome Joe, you're on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Roll Tide, roll, guys. And, hey, I can tell you this. I've been riding around in the country, and first time I've ever seen a big, humongous snapping turtle right in the middle of the road. But I do want to say this. Hey, I love what y'all saying today. I love it. But I do want to bring in the Paul Feinbaum, the crazy caller, into this right here, because there's two things I want to mention. Number one, Jimbo Fisher can go suck a dirty sock. I mean a dirty, sweaty sock. And Augie in Louisiana, he can suck a dirty sock and put a little bit of that Louisiana hot sauce on it, you know, because that's what they like. And Augie is nothing but full of crap. That's all he is full of crap. But I do want to ask y'all this right here. Is it not true that Jimbo Fisher is nothing but a little bitty whiny baby? That's all he sounds like, is a little whiny baby, because there's no way nobody's going to go play at this, what he calls a powerhouse. They're not a powerhouse. They never have been. They won one game against Alabama last year. And you know what? Hey, they're garbage as far as I'm concerned. They lost four games. They cowered out of the playoff, out of the bowl game. They was a coward on it. They was nothing but a coward on it. But hey, but I will leave you with this. I love you boys, but I want to get your reaction on this right here. Is it not true that Jimbo Fisher is one of the most whiny babies that's ever been in college football?
Well, tied to you as well, Handsome Joe.
So I learned a couple of things today. One, I'm going to go ahead and invoke the legal defense and say I plead the fifth to that question. Do not want to incriminate myself. Second, Red Bay, Alabama, they got a big snapping turtle. It's in the middle of the road. Somebody needs to go clear it out. Handsome Joe might want to get on that. He cut a promo. Like, cut a dang promo.
Take us to break. We'll be back on the Paul Feinbaum Show. There will be more calls. We got to get as many as we can before we get out of here. Absolutely. We're only going to get a chance to do this once if you've been paying attention to the last 3.5 hours.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We have a tweet from Justin Thomas. I understand he's a very successful professional golfer. Did you do anything this weekend of some note?
Noted golf enthusiast.
Noted Crimson Tide enthusiast, Justin Thomas. Don't let anyone tell you you can't achieve something. I stone cold shanked a 5-iron on the final round of the PGA Championship and went on to win the same day, hitting your third shot on a par 3 from 105 yards out without penalty strokes is humbling. Anything is possible, and yeah, I'm going to read it. Crying laughing emoji.
Look, we brought this up, and I just wanted to bring up the fact that I woke up this morning feeling exactly the same way that Justin Thomas did, and that is a champion. Me and my homie, Connor Lobenstein, won the Golfers Journal outing at Innis yesterday in Accord, New York. Folks, a net score of -6. We grinded. All you can do is play the hole in front of you, Spencer. All you can do is swing your swing. And at the end of the day, that's what we did. It was tough, but you've got to grind out a result, and that's what we did. Shout out to Rob Collins, King Collins Golf Design. Shout out the Golfer Journal, of course. Shout out Connor, my playing partner and my fellow champion.
I'll caddy for you. I'm not going to play, but I'll be happy.
I know you poo-poo the game of golf, but I know it's in there. I know you have a past with the game of golf. I know you can swing the club.
I'm not a masochist. That's why I don't play, right? Because I love myself. I don't want to expose myself to that kind of stress. Golf is stressful.
Let's expose ourselves to some more phone calls. Cat Daddy in Columbia. Oh, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Fellas, I got to ask y'all something. Are y'all related to the Duck Dynasty people?
Yes.
Spencer might be.
Yeah, I might be.
All right, well, I just noticed your beard there, and I ain't seen anything like that since Duck Dynasty, but do y'all duck hunt?
Not at the moment. We're doing a radio show.
I like
at the
to
moment.
Eat.
Yeah.
I like to eat duck, though.
Yeah.
Cat Daddy.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, but you got to cook it right because duck are turned tough on you. I mean, tougher than a rubber steak. So if y'all do any duck hunting, make sure you tenderize it real good.
Absolutely, Cat Daddy. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been thinking about the Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher argument going on. And I'm thinking, man, that's what Dabo Swinney said 6 months ago. And Paul Feinbaum was all over Dabo for that. But, of course, we all secretly know that he went to Tennessee, but he's still an Alabama fan. But I love him. I love him. I love him.
Cat Daddy, thank you for the call. We cannot speak for Paul Feinbaum. We cannot speak to Paul Feinbaum's alleged allegiances.
Yeah, I don't know what from watching this show would convince anybody that he was a fan of any team. I'm just going to speak for Paul here and just say, I don't think so, man. If that's the vibe. Yeah, I don't think sleeper cell. I don't sense that with Paul.
And we're playing the hits on the way out. I man. Welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Live from the capital city, guys. Good afternoon. What a hot topic. War damn Eagle.
Good afternoon to you as well.
As an Auburn fan, I'm just loving every bit of this. And it's obvious to me that Paul's not there because Nick Saban told him to get his ass Tuscaloosa to help fix this. Because Paul is the only guy that jumps now when Nick says anything. And it's completely obvious that Jimbo Fisher totally embarrassed little Nick in public in front of the world. He doesn't care. And Nick has this little complex. He's got that little fella complex. Like, as long as Nick owns you and he owns your destiny, he's the man. He's the man. But you know what? He don't own it anymore. NIL is taking that away from him. The transfer portal is taking it away from him. Although Nick is using the transfer portal for recruiting purposes, and we know that because he's a Belichick guy. And he's going to push all the gentleman rules aside and do what's best for him, not his team. But Nick can't hide behind the football team on this. He's been got his ass kicked by him. And Jimbo's doing it. But Jimbo Fisher said last year, we're going to kick his ass. And what Jimbo did? Tell me quick, what Jimbo did? They kicked his ass. And Nick is out there running around talking about, they bought it. Blah, 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 blah. You know, he's just running his space. And then, of course, Feinbaum says, well, he probably shouldn't have said that much. But the problem is Nick did. And he kept running his face. And Jimbo put him in his place not once, not twice, but three times now publicly in front of the college football world and anybody else is paying attention. Would you agree with that? Is that a fair statement? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Because he did. And I tell you what. Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M is supporting Jimbo Fisher just like Florida State. Jimbo is scumbag. We all knew that, but then all of a sudden he became a good guy because he got to the SEC. Well, he's still the same scumbag that he was at Florida State, and Florida State will vouch for that.
Man, thank you for the call. I will not make, I will not allow personal aspersions to be cast upon one Jimbo Fisher. His football is all in bounds, though.
I will also state this, that this is recent news. This is recent news. This is all very fresh, right? Like, if we have Jimbo Fisher with a streak of one, I think we all agree this is going to be a very different story come October. Is that going to look a little different?
A&M better find a quarterback.
Find a quarterback. Find a quarterback.
That's all I'll say
The game is in Tuscaloosa.
Or it's going to be a long night on October 8th.
Let's play a long game. Let's play a long game when we consider how we think about these things, okay? Because the long game says the next matchup's not going to be real pretty.
Matt from San Antonio, you're on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Matt,
what's happening? Hey, guys, I want to say something to you stupid, dumbass Alabama fans who want to keep on saying we bought our class. Let me cuss on the show. I apologize about that. But they got no proof. We bought the money. We use any money to buy our players. They're full of crap. Another thing is they're just ticked. You know why Saban's also ticked? I agree with everything Iron Man said. But another reason why he's ticked off because he got no oil money. And he's mad because he ain't on top no more. Shut up, Saban. You guys, coach, is a baby. He's asking me out in 3 years or 2 years from now. So you think you're going to whoop our ass? I'm going to whoop your ass again this year. So I'm sorry. So, always give Alabama fans. Shut up, you inbred redneck.
Bill, that's a good place to stop that call. Thank you for calling in, sir. By the way, do you like the scene in that call where he was like, you know, Alabama doesn't have oil? And I'm like, Nick's trying to find some.
Yeah, Nick is drilling,
right,
baby.
Right now.
Nick is drilling. I'm
right
tell you
now.
Something. Do you think, okay, so obviously the Alabama-Auburn rivalry is what it is, and the Alabama-Georgia rivalry, while not classic, is mm-hmm. kind of the rivalry du jour when I talk about the two best teams. They kind of had that same relationship with Clemson just a few years ago. What will it take? How many wins does it take A&M to get on that level to where you can consider Alabama as peer?
Well, I got to beat them again. I mean, like in the next 2 years, right? Like, I could understand you lose this year, right? Like, maybe you're rebuilding towards the next thing. But yeah, they haven't won 10 games since 2012. That was my producer, not me. Thank you so much.
Divine intervention.
I know. But they need to put up double digits at one point. Okay, soon, right? Maybe this year, maybe next year. Now, this year, I think, would be a tall pull, especially without a proven quarterback. But I think they have to do that in order to at least sort of approach that level. It's a tall ask.
Yeah, yeah. One more call before we go to the break. Nanette?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. You're on live with the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Okay. Am I on right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, who am I talking to?
Richard Johnson, Spencer Hall, not Paul. Paul's off this week.
Yeah, Paul's off. We're holding down the fort.
Okay, now who am I talking to again?
That's Richard Johnson and Spencer Hall.
Okay, well, I see two different dudes on TV.
That is correct, ma'am.
That's us. We look good, live and in living color.
We do look good.
Okay, so I'm talking to them right now.
That's correct, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to tell our man that he doesn't know what he's talking about, that we're going to whoop Texas A&M's ass. Oh, well, I'm just saying Texas A&M.
Yeah, thank you, Nanette, for calling. I think she heard us on the TV too. I think she had the echo going.
Yeah, but it's May. Nanette is charged up and ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're gonna do more of your calls. Please turn down your TVs if you happen to be doing that. By the way, most of you do because you're professionals. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Spencer Hall. That's Richard. We'll be back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Take us home.
Yeah, we are entering the home stretch here. It has been a pleasure talking with the people. I think we should go ahead and reward those who have been hanging on for just a ridiculously long period of time. Let's get our long times.
Absolutely. Hunter in College Station.
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing today?
How you doing?
All right,
man.
Hunter, how about you?
Man, I tell y'all what, this is one of the first times I've listened to this, and y'all got some characters as callers, let me tell you. I mean, these people from Alabama and stuff or something else.
Dude, we appreciate it, man.
Oh, if y'all are ever in College Station, let me know. We'll go golf. I'm not just JT, but anyway, like I was calling, you know, it's funny people talking about our NIL stuff. I'm pretty young. I played high school football in a pretty predominant part of Texas, where kids got recruited by A&M, Alabama, UT, LSU. And people don't realize, and our next A&M's cool now. I think that's point to what Johnny Manziel and Kevin Sumlin did. These kids grew up, and Johnny Manziel was flashy, A&M was flashy. It's different from when I was growing up. UT was the place to go to. So I think that stands to UT's got the old money, and a lot of UT students, they don't really care about football, per se. and some of their new. I don't think they're, devoted per se, like the season tickets wise and stuff like that. Anyway, but it's funny to hear the Mr. Jones, the guy from Miami, as y'all said earlier, like, oh, you got to pay these kids to come to College Station. But then he follows it up with he hasn't been in the state of Texas in years. I'm like, you know, College Station's changed quite a bit. And where these kids live, I know a lot of the players, where they live is crazy. The apartments that they're living in, it's nuts. The way they're treated and the town's blowing up and proximity to Houston. And that's another thing. I don't think we would have had the recruiting class we had this year if Texas doesn't suck. I know off the top of my head four guys that would have 100% went to the University of Texas if they would have had a good year. And they were borderline five-star, four-star guys. And, hell, one of the five stars we got was Oklahoma bound, but Lincoln Riley dipped. So that's another five-star off the board. So I think this year it was a combination. It was just the perfect storm. We beat Alabama at home with a quarterback that didn't light up the game. He didn't light up the scoreboard per se, that he was doing phenomenal, throwing for 500 yards and five touchdowns and no interceptions. He just didn't mess up. And in those four games that you watched that we lost this year that everybody likes to point out with our backup quarterback, he was nervous. He wasn't playing very good. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen with this Connor Wingman we just got from Houston, a five-star kid, and with Max Johnson, who would have thought he'd be our quarterback this year. So I'm excited. There's reason to be excited in College Station. And I think a lot of it, people are pissed off that we're succeeding. And I guess A&M's the bad guy now, but hell, we'll see what happens, man.
All right. Hey, thank you, Hunter, so much for calling in and for waiting. I, by the way, will not call any job bad that will pay them what they are paying Jimbo. Just, I want to put that on record.
I'm telling you. Another bad job. Another longtime holder. Yeah. Jack in Georgia, you're on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hey, brother. How y'all doing? Thanks for the call.
We're doing good, Jack.
I just got a couple of comments. That guy, JT, no one got it started. Get him to join the bandwagon. Tell him to play IMG, and they might win that game. And tell him to turn back over that turnover chain he ran on one of the photographs. And that guy from Oregon, tell him win a big game every 25 years. Now, to get back what I'm waiting for, Nick Saban, to me personally, I wouldn't say what he said, but he said it. Everybody know what's going on. And then when Jimbo came back with his press conference, it looked like he just came from a 5K run to reach up for water, lips all wet and dry or whatever. He kind of reminded me of that senator for Florida that was at the Senate Union speech that kept grabbing water. I heard them mock movie or whatever. But October 8th is going to be the game to watch, and we're going to see what all is going to be settled right then and there. Guys, thanks for the call. Okay, I sure appreciate y'all.
Jack, thank you so much.
Yeah, by the way, that senator was Marco Rubio, and I will say this. He's a University of Florida graduate, but he wasn't hydrated. That, to me, is a disappointment to me as an alma mater that invented Gatorade. That's his own fault. We helped him. It's institutional knowledge.
I think we got time to squeeze in one more call. Mike, we got time to squeeze in one more. Let's make it quick.
Guys, how's it going? Nick Saban is the biggest crybaby I ever seen in my life. Nick Saban, do you want some cheese with that wine? You want some cheese with that wine, Nick Saban? And Paul Feinbaum, he's off. He's not working, and he's not working this week. He's working, but he's not working on the show. You know what Paul Feinbaum's working right now? He's shining Nick Saban's shoes. He's working at Nick Saban's house. Everybody knows Paul Feinbaum kisses Nick Saban's butt. He's cutting his grass. He's washing his toilet. And he's walking his dog. Paul Feinbaum is working this week. He just ain't at that job. He's working at Nick Saban's house. Because everybody knows he's the shoe shine boy for Nick Saban. Y'all have a good one.
I am not sure.
I know.
Like, I am not sure what else we could have possibly gone out on.
We ended up with Paul Feinbaum cleaning Nick Saban's toilet. That's a day. We're done. I think we're at a wrap.
I really think we've got the full experience. Paul Feinbaum is a legend to be able to do this every day, truly.
An endurance athlete, a true endurance athlete. I will state this has been a great pleasure. Callers, you're lovely. Feinbaum Nation, you were extremely polite to us, so thank you for that. If you would like to find more of us anywhere else, you are at Split Zone Duo, a fine college football podcast, and you are writing for Sports Illustrated. That is Richard Johnson. I am a member of the Shutdown Fullcast. You can subscribe to the Channel 6 newsletter. You can follow me on Twitter at EDSBS, among other things. And hey, we'll be back in fall for Thinking Out Loud.
We had a lot of fun today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.